One for Sorrow, written by Sarah Denzel and read by Jasmine Blackborough.
Not long after the water ripples disturbed the usually calm water of the family pond did the details of the crime unfurl. I remember the exact moment I saw the news. It remains completely clear in my mind, as all enormous moments do. Like the moment I heard about 9/11, or Princess Diana's death. I remember the blue t-shirt I was wearing and the exact position in which I was sitting on the sofa. Magazines on the coffee table alongside my TARDIS mug. The details from the police were still hazy at that point. But what I heard was enough to make me hug my niece and nephew a little more tightly the next time I saw them. I like to think that the undulations circling over the surface of the duck pond are continuing to form a path, and that the distressing murder left behind a beautiful pattern. There are not many instances of goodness coming from badness, but I have hope that my town can be the exception, that we will breed strength and that goodness will flow through the community. I still have hope. It was a bright summer's day on the 12th of August 2010. On the grounds of the Fielding property, the laughter of children filtered up the long lawns from the duck pond by the edge of Scholes Woods. There wasn't a cloud in the sky, and the grown-ups were sipping mojitos on the patio of their expansive property. David and Anna Fielding were entertaining guests. Rhea and Jason Earnshaw had brought their 6-year-old daughter Maisie for a business play date. The Fieldings' eldest daughter Isabel, 14, was watching the two younger children, including her brother Owen, 11, while the adults discussed an investment into Jason Earnshaw's construction company. The Fieldings and the Earnshaws were, and still are, respected members of the community. Anna was well known at the local church, ran raffles to help the needy, and routinely helped at the food bank. David invested in many local businesses, aiding the economy of the town. Rhea and Jason Earnshaw were known as good employers who created jobs in the area. The day was perfect, until the sound of children's laughter stopped. Jason Earnshaw would later tell the police that after a particularly animated conversation with the Fieldings, where David told the group a joke, they noticed that the children had gone very quiet. Rhea stood up on the patio and called Maisie's name. When there wasn't an answer, Rhea and Anna hurried down the long lawn, which sloped downhill to the pond. Isabel was the first to be found. She was walking up the lawn with her hands outstretched. Anna ran to her, asking her if she was hurt. Isabel shook her head, but she was soaked to the waist, and there was blood covering her hands and lips. Barely a second later, Jason Earnshaw recalled hearing the piercing scream of his wife. He sprinted down the hill to see his wife wading into the pond, her expensive sundress ruined by the murky water. He hurried to her, splashing through the shallow water. As the Earnshaws were wading through dirty water, David Fielding saw his son wander towards him from the trees. Owen Fielding walked with his head bent low, tears dripping from his nose. There was blood splattered on his trousers, but he was not wet, and he was not covered in as much blood as his older sister. David rushed to Owen to check that the child was not hurt. And in the centre of it all, at the very centre of the pond, a little girl lay face down. She was stripped to the waist. The police would find her daisy print t-shirt caught on a bush in the forest a few hours later, with her hair fanning all around her. Her loose, dark curls were as soaked as her jeans. Maisie Earnshaw was dead. Murdered.